Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll begin at verse number 1. Have your Bible ready. Reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, where we read this: know also that in the last days perilous, or hard to do, times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth speakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What a list we have here of church members at the end of the age, in this age of apostasy in which we are living. We need to keep in mind that the context is that Paul is giving instructions to the pastor concerning how he ought to behave himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. The focus in this book is not on evangelism. The focus is on the pastor and the people in the local church in the last days. The Bible says that this apostasy will be in the churches. Let me say it again. The Bible says in the last days this apostasy will be in the churches. The context has nothing to do with people who are wicked living in the world. It has to do with how the wickedness of the world will become acceptable in our churches in the last days. Yeah, it's actually referring to standard-keeping Christians who are looking good while they are denying the power thereof. They oppose the power of God as far as influencing their lives from one day to another. We know this is speaking of professing Christians within the local church, because Paul said, from such turn away. If he was speaking about people in the world, we wouldn't be able to witness to anyone. He also said these people would be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth. The phrase, the knowledge of the truth, is found three times in the Bible and always refers to Christians. 1 Timothy 2:4 refers to people being saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth. Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." 2 Timothy 3:7 speaks of the professed Christians who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is referring to Christians. There never has been a time when it was not hard to do in the world. And that's what perilous means, hard to do times. As far as reaching the world with the gospel, it's always been hard to do. You just need to check with Noah. It says that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6 and 5. It was difficult in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was difficult 2,000 years ago when the local churches began. A careful study of the early chapters of the book of Acts, without swallowing what you'll read in someone's commentary, will show that the crowds came when the sermons were being preached only to the Jews about their kingdom on earth. When it came to God requiring what he required in local church membership, we read seven times in the New Testament that they were holding their churches in someone's house. Those who did get saved and joined the churches paid a great price to be a Bible-believing Christian, many of them with their lives. But in our modern-day fundamental churches, God's Word tells us in the last days, perilous times, hard-to-do times will come in our local churches. The Bible says Christians will be lovers of their own selves. They will be covetous. They will be boasters. Christians will be proud. They will be truce breakers. That is, not keeping their commitments. They will be incontinent. That means spiritually weak. They will be despisers of those that are good. Yeah, if you're going to take a solid stand, like, say, David Cloud does in his old Timothy magazine, well, they'll despise them. They'll be classified as someone with a bad spirit. The Bible says in the last day there'll be traitors. That's no loyal leadership. They'll be high-minded, self-conceited, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Our modern-day church members will not endure sound doctrine. That's what the Bible says. The Bible warns that in the day of apostasy, many Christians will obtain a surface knowledge of Bible doctrines while never being able to make them a part of their lives. Year after year, they'll listen to the preaching, and year after year, there'll be no change whatsoever in their lives. These kinds of Christians will be quite content to miss church services if there's something they're more interested in. They wouldn't dream of missing work to go visit with family or friends, but church, what does that matter? That's what the Bible says. Christians will be lovers of their own selves. They'll do what they want to do. They'll be covetous. They'll get what they want, and that comes first. They'll be truth breakers, not keeping their commitments, not to God and not to their local church, and they'll be traitors, not loyal to the leadership. Compromising pastors in our age have made this acceptable. If they get preaching and their preaching gets too demanding, they know that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, 2 Timothy 4:3. So let's not get too specific about what the Lord wants. Let's not demand any loyalty. Just let's look the other way when they break these commandments of God, and we can keep the crowds coming in and build a bigger building. Well, that's where we're going to be in the last days, and that's exactly where we are. We have Christians today with no concept of Bible principles. 2 Timothy 3:7 says they'll be ever learning, that is, they're going to church and they're listening, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The dictionary says a concept is something conceived in the mind. They have no concept of spiritual principles. When the Bible says they are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, it means they do not have the ability to understand spiritual things. They have little or no spiritual discernment whatsoever. Years ago, we visited the Yanomami Indians in the jungles of Venezuela, and we had members of our church here who were missionaries in that jungle village. And for many years, they were ministering to the Yanomami Indians. And when attempting to teach the Indians about Bible principles, it was discovered that the Indians had no word for love or forgiveness, hope, patience, sacrifice, character, honor, shame, and so on. They had no words like that. The reason they had no words for these character traits is because they had no concept of what they were, and without a concept of these things, it was impossible to understand them. They had no reasoning ability. For example, one of the self-ascribed spiritual leaders in the village testified that God says that men should beat their wives so they won't sin. The missionaries tried to reason with him from the scriptures. However, it was impossible to reason with him because the Yanomami Indians have no concept of what reasoning is. And they have no appreciation. The Yanomami Indians don't know what that is. They have no concept whatsoever of appreciation. Our missionary wrote, and I quote, "You hope that one day you will receive a note or listen to the testimony of a Yanomami Indian who thanks you for giving yourself to bring Jesus to them, but the Yanomamas are thankless." Being thankful is not a concept the Indians know anything about. It appears to be no closer to their culture than being a rocket scientist, unquote. He continued, "Sarah, his wife, has given nearly 7 years of her life in the jungle village of Kua. Every day she teaches the Indians how to read. Recently, the Indians decided they didn't want a foreigner teaching them anymore, and they voted in a young man who Sarah thinks has a grade 2 education, thanks to her teaching him all these years. When Sarah left the village for the last time, only a few Indian ladies came to the river to see her off. The rest of the Indians were in her hut fighting over the things that were left behind. The Onomomic culture does whatever it feels like doing, and it does not matter if it hurts anyone else, just like our modern-day church hoppers do, exactly the same. The Bible warns that in the last days, this problem will be prevalent in our local churches. People will sit there like the Indians in the jungle, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They will have no real appreciation for the leadership that God has given them to help them through the storms of life. If they don't like something that is done or not done in the church, they simply leave with no concern whatsoever who gets hurt as a result of their actions. Like the Indians in the jungle, their philosophy of life is, it's all about me. Well, what are we to do? The Bible says these things happen and are written for our admonition. And if we go back into the Old Testament records, we can read of times of apostasy among God's people. And in 1 Chronicles 12:32, we read that God had men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. As we look back then, we find that God always had a remnant. I'm going to repeat that because it's very important. God has always had a remnant, and God's remnants were always small. It says in Isaiah 16:14, the remnant shall be very small and feeble. The remnant can say with the psalmist, I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Psalm 119:41. The remnant was small and despised. However, there never was a time when the people of God could accuse God of not having someone to show them God's will and the way God wanted his will accomplished. In Ezekiel 2:4-5, we read, I send thee unto them, who? God's people. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there has been a prophet among them. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Now, what does God want from our local churches? As individual Christians, we are always under the order to be witnessing for Christ. That is important. I want to repeat that because in this age of apostasy, we seem to be living in an area when we have an either-or mentality. It has never been a case of one thing or the other. Individual Christians, we are under orders to be witnessing for God. As pastors, however, we are commanded to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they, that is Christians in our local churches, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, 2 Timothy 4:2-3. God does not expect the pastor to compromise the word of God to reach anybody. During the days of apostasy in Israel, the prophet was commanded to say, thus saith the Lord God. We are to do the same. God wants his apostate people in our local churches to know that there has been a prophet among them. God does not want people to know there's been a compromiser among them. The command is the same today as it was for apostate Israel. Here it is, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. God wants a remnant, like the days of apostasy in Israel. God wants a remnant, and we should not be surprised when the remnant is very small and very feeble, as Isaiah 16:14 says it was. Although God may have some larger churches that have not compromised, the pastor who can honestly look to God in this age of apostasy and say, I forget not thy precepts, will in most cases be pastoring a church that is small and despised. Again, I want to emphasize this does not give us a license to stop witnessing in the world for Christ. The Bible is very plain about that responsibility. However, we must never compromise the Word of God to keep the pews full.